For people in Big Ten country, it might be difficult to understand the present struggles roiling another major athletic conference, the Big East. The Big Ten is the Rock of Gibraltar of conferences, a collection started in the 1890s that has changed very little since Ohio State joined 100 years ago. In the past century, the Big Ten has a net gain of two schools, losing the University of Chicago while adding Michigan State, Penn State, and Nebraska. Compare that to the Big East, which has had that many changes in the past year. This erector set of a conference was founded in 1979, largely as an amalgam of top-flight basketball schools. Its promise as a going entity fulfilled 6 years later when three of its schools made the NCAA's Final Four, still a record. Since then, the conference added and subtracted universities when convenient, based largely on sports. For example, in the early 1990s, the Big East wanted to become a major football conference, so it added several football schools, including West Virginia University and the University of Miami. In 1995, it added Notre Dame, a school, like Miami, then within recent memory of having won a national championship. Of course, it is instructive to note that the Big East added Notre Dame to its conference in every sport except football. Just the sort of maneuvering that meant the conference was exceptional, just not in the right way. For instance, a decade ago, six Big East schools competed in all intercollegiate sports as members of the conference. Six other schools competed in all sports except football. Notre Dame competed in all sports as a member, except for football, in which they did compete, sort of, as an independent. And finally, Temple University competed as a Big East member only in football, but was in the Atlantic 10 for all other sports. Let's just say the center could not hold. In 2003, three schools jumped ship for another conference. In response to those defections, the Big East added five more schools, three of which played football. In the past couple of years, the sort of musical university chairs that has typified the existence of the Big East Conference has come, to a lesser degree, to all the major conferences. You might think that this would put the Big East in a better, more experienced position to navigate the treacherous waters of conference realignment. It hasn't. The Big East has always been a conference of convenience and so rarely garnered much loyalty. When other conferences started poaching universities a couple of years ago, it seemed inevitable that no matter what else happened, the Big East was going to lose. That's why the conference bylaws require that schools that want to leave pay $5 million and wait a full 27 months. Which brings us to West Virginia, a state that borders Maryland, but whose flagship university wants to join a conference whose most important member state borders Mexico. Just as an aside, the ridiculous geography of conference membership has been a non-factor in realignment, thanks largely to, you guessed it, the Big East, a conference that includes such notable Eastern schools as Marquette and DePaul. The West Virginia Mountaineers have accepted an invitation to join the Big 12 and would very much like to leave now, not in 2 years. So they've sued the Big East. The school claims the demise of the conference is, quote, a direct and proximate result of the ineffective leadership and breach of fiduciary duties to the football schools, unquote. But that's a strange claim. The nature of the Big East has always been fluid, a fact West Virginia has been party to for 20 years. What has made the conference less viable as a football institution is not lack of leadership, but fickle universities that split at the first hint of an offer from another conference, like West Virginia is now doing. There's no telling what will happen in court, but probably the only way the school will not have to fulfill its obligations is if the conference simply disappears. An eventuality the Mountaineers just might be counting on. I'm Travis McDade.